The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to We the People Radio. Hour two here. We're going to shift gears. Missed the. Would be Bill banging his head on the microphone there.
That's my job.
Is it all working out for you now?
Yeah, it's okay. I'm all right now.
You better?
It's okay. Nothing to see.
Oh my gosh. So the first half we were talking about the Kerr Dam up there in Montana and how that has been transferred to an Indian tribe with all the rights, privileges, and secrecy that goes with that. So hope you'll take a look at that on the website. It is wethepeopleradio.us. Tons of information there, and this hour we're going to make a radical change, and we're going to switch over to Kim Spencer. She is the co-founder, and she is also an author. Their website on Facebook is the Thinking Moms Revolution. Easy for me to say. And I'll tell you what, we've struggled hard for this interview, have we not, Kim?
You know, we have both bumbled through a few little missteps, but
oh
here we are,
God.
And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for finding us and having us.
Yeah, it was fun. I stumbled across you on Facebook, and I thought, hey, these guys are talking about all the vaccines and the all the things with autism and all that. And we did kind of a series about all that about a month ago, but I really thought your information was quite good, and since it's available online, pretty much anybody can get it, because we've got folks who listen in Philadelphia on Mondays, people who are in California listening on Sundays, and, of course, folks in between who listen online. So,
absolutely. We are a very much international group, so anyone can find us anywhere that they can access the Internet.
I think that's awesome. ThinkingMomsRevolution.com.
Exactly.
All righty. So, all right, how'd you get involved in all this stuff?
Well, my personal story, I'll keep it short and sweet, is that my son, who was born almost exactly 15 years ago in the year 2000, was really ill as a baby and a toddler. He was eventually without me having any clue what the word autism meant, except for the movie Rain Man, diagnosed at almost age three with exactly that pervasive developmental disorder, which if you look that up is actually autism, straight up autism. And after that, and I hit the net, I hit the world, I hit the books that were available at the time, which were very few, and found that, you know, what had happened here wasn't just a mental disorder or a genetic issue, as much as it was environmental and medical, and found really quick answers for him. Brought him back around with lots of alternative treatments and different ways to boost his immune system, to find out about his food allergies, to detox his body from the toxins that the world had, you know, pretty much gotten into him from, you know, from the get-go. So now we have almost. is there a typical ninth grader? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no. No, there
but
isn't.
We're doing well. Yeah, he does his own work. He is included in the same classes as any other kid. He does his own homework. He dresses himself. He goes to the potty. He will learn how to drive. He'll go to college and he'll get married if he wants to. And we've got him back. So that's kind of how it was with me personally. So in my travels through the decade of my fight to find him and get him back and find the people who could help me do that, Facebook was invented. And we just kind of fell into these groups with these other moms that had similar children that were dying for answers that mainstream would not give us. And so we met up about special diets, and we met up about, you know, politics, and we met up about the best books and the best practitioners and how to find grants to help us find all this and pay for it ourselves since insurance wouldn't. So there was just, you know, every time a new book came out about it, there was, you know, a big campaign about that, or, you know, just campaigning our politicians and campaigning everybody to bring attention to the fact that all our kids were really sick and no one was helping us at all.
And so, did these parents all have kids who were on the were all their children on the autism spectrum?
Yeah, pretty much. I would say, though, that there are plenty of parents out there that also find their, you know, their environmentally ill children maybe not falling on the autism spectrum, but also might have ADHD, a seizure disorder, extreme food allergies, learning problems, focus problems, you know, behavior problems. They've got that new diagnosis, oppositional defiance disorder, you know, just all these kinds of things that skirt. Yeah.
Okay, we don't know about that one.
Kind of
what is that?
Behaviors and health issues that skirt around all this, you know. So how long did it
take you when you started this journey with your son? How long did it take to get him back to a so-called normal stage?
It's been an amazing trip for us. I will have to say that we've been very lucky in the fact that somehow, you know, his genetics were not that bad to where we couldn't detox his body or we couldn't get some things turned around. We always had consistent wows with changing the diet, with hyperbaric oxygen, with homeopathy, with everything was a small wow along the way.
So there was no one thing that really...
No, not at all. Not at all. And I really do feel like, you know, we were lucky that we chose what to do in the right order somehow. You know, like a lot of parents I feel like can try something and they don't see anything from it, but if they might have tried it after another protocol or, you know, in a different order or somewhere down the road, that maybe it would work better for them. This is the problem. And this is why the Thinking Moms came together, because there is no medical protocol. There is no standard of care for our children at all. It's go get some speech therapy, go get some occupational therapy, physical therapy if you need it, some ADA therapy, which is basically just like, you know, here's a Skittle if you do it right. And these are the mainstream things that are offered to our children, and it absolutely is just an unfair paradigm. I mean, our kids should not be in a psychological situation.
And so they're basically going after the symptoms and not a cure.
Absolutely, you know, and prevention, which, you know, is a whole other subject, mm-hmm. but, you know, when you realize that this is such a medical issue and the things that are making our kids better reverse a medical problem. So, you know, if Patrick was toxic and he had food allergies and he had tons of autoimmune issues going on, then if we could get back out of that, we could see that the autistic symptoms disappeared. So it is very much medical. And so that was what happened. We all came together, a bunch of us. I mean, there was probably 50 people in this one group I was in on Facebook. And we all met at an autism conference in Chicago, a great group called Autism One that meets every year. And most of us were able to meet in real life. And one girl who was like a vice president of a bank, go-giver, she said, hey, let's all write down our stories and put them together and put them in a book. Here's the deadline. I'll organize this. So we did that. 24 of us actually made the deadline and made the choice to do it. And that's how we started. So we put all of our stories in a book. It's called The Thinking Moms Revolution. My son's story is the last chapter in the book. My son is about the oldest one of all of our children, of the 24 of us, and probably is better than, you know, his health is better than most of the kids so far, but he's also older and we've had a lot more time to work with him. So anyway, that's how we came together, and we just felt like after the book came out, we couldn't stop. I mean, there are so many people that still have their story to tell, that so much that still needs to change, so much that still hasn't changed. The word needs to get out there that there's hope and healing for our kids, and, you know, an average mom out there who works and might be divorced and has very little support and very little financial help and very little time, we'll never stumble upon this information, and they need it. We need it. We need to get it out there. You know, there's so much hope, and there's so much you can do to bring your kids back from this. And, you know, we run off the stat. I love to start with the stat. You know, it's just not about autism. 54% of American children are ill, chronically ill. So, and that stat does include obesity. So when you say obesity, diabetes, autoimmune disease, autism spectrum, just on autoimmune issues like rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, allergies, asthma, ADHD, ADD, when you add all this up, I mean, you've got half a chance to have a perfectly healthy child in America today. And this isn't fair.
That's not really that good.
It's terrible.
Those are pretty bad odds.
I mean, if I was faced with the fact that I had a 50-50 chance of my kid being healthy when I decided to have a child in 1999 and wanted to, you know, get pregnant and have Patrick, and somebody said, you got a 50-50 chance that he won't have severe health problems.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, who would take those odds?
I mean, when you think of that that way, when you think of that that way, and that's what really everybody's facing right now. And, you know, to think that our government is just completely ignoring this, our medical system is completely ignoring this. How many times, my friend's children, I mean, they go to mainstream hospitals, or they go to mainstream experts, and they say, wow, this is such an anomaly. Well, maybe you have Munchausen, or we don't know. We don't have any answers. We can't help you. Or we'll medically kidnap your kid and just drug them to death with Abilify and Risperdal and Clonidine and all these harmful drugs. I mean, you know, a neurologist wanted my son on Abilify, which is on label used for schizophrenia.
Yeah.
At age four.
Wow.
Yeah, at age four. And, you know, I walked out of there thinking, why? Why mm-hmm. would I put my child on a drug for schizophrenia at age four?
Well, the antidepressants, too. They want to load them up on antidepressants if they speak out or act out or, you know.
Or the ADHD drugs so that they sit still and at least stay quiet.
Those are powerful drugs.
Risperdal, the ones that now is creating man boobs and the little boys that are taking it off-label for autism. Yeah, so that just didn't add up to me, you know, at all.
That's and a classic, say, I mean, I was classic case of the I'm cure not, is worse than the... than the disease.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have to say that if I had followed mainstream medicine's advice, that all the doctors that I was working with, because I was a sheeple, I admit it, I'm not here sitting in on any soapbox or high up chair saying that anybody who doesn't think the way I do is a big dummy. I was that person. I fully vaccinated my kid. I didn't question it. I didn't say anything. I didn't research it. I researched my car seat more than I researched the vaccines. I researched, you know, what dresser was the best dye, you know, for his nursery before I even researched what toxins could be in the new carpet in that room, or what kind of, you know, if I decided to quit breastfeeding, what sort of formula would be best for him. Nothing I trusted, you know. I'm not here on my high horse to say that I'm better than anyone. It took this to happen to me and my family for me to figure it out. So that's why, you know, the Thinking Moms, again, getting back to my girls. And the one dad, we have one dad that read a chapter two.
Yeah, 23 you know, moms here. And a brave dad, it says.
Yeah, one brave dad. And now, actually, sad to say, we are 22 moms. One of the moms that we worked with, she had already battled cancer when she joined in with us, and she lost her battle. So her son, Luke, is still doing great. We've done as much as we can to financially and emotionally support Melanie's husband and her son, who is still very much nonverbal and needs lots and lots of care. But that's a whole other show. We could talk about another time.
I'm sure every child could be. Yeah, every kid could be a show of their own. We need to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. There's tons of information. Hope you'll join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we've got everything posted about the Thinking Moms Revolution and their two books. You can find both the two books, and we're going to find out how they raised money and supported each other in this alternative health thing when we come right back with Kim Spencer.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
I built walls. A fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island.
that describes you and you're struggling with kids that are sick, you should stop being an island. Is that the point of that song, Bob? Where were we going with that?
Well, it could go either way, or it could describe the kid.
Oh, there you go. I wasn't sure what you were thinking over there in your engineering land. Fun.
I like it.
We like to, we like to mix it up with a little music because obviously it can be a little overwhelming. We cram a lot of information into short periods of time. Okay, so
yeah,
Kim.
Sorry, I know I'm just talking.
No, that's good. No, that's good.
I get super excited.
Count on it. So you guys made a nonprofit. I'm kind of curious about the funding part because the whole idea of doing alternative health, I don't care if it's for you or your kids or whoever, it's expensive and it isn't covered by insurance. So how'd you guys do that?
It is. I like to just throw it out there that my estimates and my own family for bringing Patrick back to us, probably $1 million out of pocket. Luckily, my parents were in a situation to help, and my husband works in my family's family business. So, you know, that was just the priority, and we said, you know, well, we could be paying for Harvard, or we could just get him back right now and worry about that later.
Yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
Just forget about saving for college and forget about private school or forget about a car or whatever. You know, it was just, we just couldn't worry about that. I'm just one of the lucky ones in a very unusual situation. I worked for my pediatrician for 3 years doing intake with kids like mine. And I saw the stories. I had about 300 people come in those three years, 300 families, and I saw that, you know, all the stories were very similar, and some of them were just heartbreaking that, you know, mom and dad didn't agree. Mom could do this alternative stuff all week long, but when she has to turn the child over to dad, you know, for his custody share, you know, on the weekend, he doesn't do it all. You know, our grandma was a caretaker and she didn't believe in any of it, so she doesn't do it all. Or, you know, that there just wasn't a team that agreed on how to treat the child and do all this stuff. So there's just a million situations where this is just so hard.
Sure, and a lot of this counts on dietary control, I guess. Change is the least of the problems.
Lots of some protocols might be something you need to take care of on an hourly basis, or some.
Yeah, I would think the dietary control would be probably one of the most difficult things to handle, because I mean, you pretty much got to have him under your thumb 24/7.
Yeah, if you had to work or put your child in daycare or things
like that. Somebody else was taking care of them, you don't know what they're going to eat.
Absolutely. Or you need help and grandma takes them. Does she sneak the cupcake behind your back? Because that's what grandmas do. And then you've lost your kid for 3 days. That's what would happen with Patrick. I remember us saying, okay, it's been a while. We know the diet, you know, changing this diet and cleaning it up really well has helped him so much. It's somebody's birthday. Let's let him have a piece of pizza. And he had a piece of pizza and loved it and was gone for 3 days.
Really?
Back to screeching, back to not knowing where we were and, you know, reference to him. He was just pretty much gone again. Yeah, so it was really hard. Yeah, just one piece of pizza. I know. Well, and I mean, his story, dietary story to begin with, was really amazing that in 3 days of me changing his diet after diagnosis, he saw me like he's never seen me before. So we had an extremely reactive child to foods.
What types of things should people look for in diet that, well, in your case, well, what were some of the biggest?
So in my case, the first thing we found, of course, I'm talking, you know, 12 years ago, where things, there were three books and things were very much less researched and less known then, was taking out wheat and gluten and also anything that came from cows. So dairy, and just those two things made a huge difference. Now, as far as our activism with the Thank You Mom or anything like that at this point, the idea mainly is now that we work with, say, Stephanie Seneff from MIT or Moms Across America, the women who are really learning more about glyphosate and Roundup and Monsanto. You know, I speak at March Against Monsanto. We try to eat organic. We try to keep it clean. So there's so much more now that we're starting to see affects our kids with diet other than just taking out wheat and dairy. But that just set us on the path right there, just wheat and dairy, and that was it.
And that really made the difference, just those two items. You saw a physical difference.
It did. Mm-hmm. Now, dairy gets out of the system pretty quickly. wheat can take, or gluten can take up to 8 months. So it is a very diligent process. But the world is so much more in tune to these kind of things. I mean, we had to order this weird powdered milk online, you know, when we started, you know, first doing this with Patrick, and now you can just get almond milk everywhere you go, or coconut milk, or whatever, you know.
Oh, true. You have lots of choices for that.
I mean, there was nothing in the grocery store. You know, the health food section might have a gluten-free something piece of cardboard presenting itself as bread, but that was it, you know. So now it's just like, you know, there's so much more out there for parents, and it is a little bit easier, but you still have to be diligent. You still have to read labels, even in health food. I mean, even in your health food store, you still have to be diligent. But the food is huge. So, you know, it just goes on and on, though. I mean, it just, so many things, cleaning products, over-the-counter medications, you know, building materials. If you have a new house, or you remodel your house, you're opening your kid up for a lot of toxic influx there. Even new cars, even, you know, I mean, the chemtrails, the fluoride in the water. I mean, we are, you know, being, you know, inundated on every level.
But is this any different than it was 50 years ago? I mean, weren't we exposed to a lot of this stuff back then, and did we have this level?
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, I think it's hard for, say, my parents, who are not even 70 yet, but they ate, you know, straight from the farm, and but the farmers didn't have Monsanto. You know, I mean, they didn't have, you know, that kind of thing going on. Cities didn't fluoridate their water. I'm 48 years old, and I had 6 vaccines in my life in, like, 1971. They were measles, mumps, and rubella. All were separated, so 3 and then 3 others. In my life, that's all I've ever had, is just those 6 needles. My son Patrick had 14 needles by the age of 6 months.
Holy
14
God.
Needles by Holy. The age of 6 months, and many of those were combo vaccines. So we're not talking about how many diseases, we're talking about how many needles. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's overwhelming. I mean, yes, I do think it's worse than ever. You look in the skies and you see the stripes. You look at, you know, it's just, you know, you know, people can go in the grocery store and get chemically ill. There's so much, you know, clean products and, you know, ick in there. Just food factory, processed foods. My family, my parents never had a box mix of anything that had, you know, bread wasn't made with all this bromated blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, it was just...
Sure.
Yeah, I mean...
The list of ingredients was pretty straightforward, and now you have to really be a chemist in order to figure out what's in things.
You do. And, I mean, today's a world where we're just, like, having Pop-Tarts and frozen corn dogs and, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken for dinner. I mean, this isn't the way that we ate, you know, at all.
I was at a county fair yesterday, and
you mean corn dogs are bad for you?
Bill wasn't there.
The frozen ones especially.
Yeah, that's just a scary idea. But they had all these. It was something I hadn't seen before at the fair. It was a soda. It was a thing where you could go fill up your sodas. You bought the cup, and then you could go fill it up, and they were, I don't know how many ounces, but they were huge. I mean, they were like half-gallon mugs and, you know, these crazy, weird red-looking juice. And
yeah. Whoever had this giant blue drink in their hand as a 7-year-old, you know, with a blue sucker in their mouth. And,
I did. I looked at the blue ones, and I thought, you know, that
pure sugar
can't be
and
good.
Some sort of dye,
And food dye, I mean, one of the very oldest and most basic diets that are out there, because there's so many that treat, you know, behaviors in children, and one of the earliest ones was the Feingold diet, and that took out food dyes right there. They knew a long time ago, that was just a recipe for disaster if you wanted your kid to sit still. So if you give them red dye number 40 and send them off to school, or, as they often do, you send them off to school with a good diet and they send your kid home full of red dye 40 because somebody had a birthday, you know, you've ruined days.
Yeah.
You've done all kinds of work. You know, so
my sister went on this same little journey that you were on with her youngest, and they wound up pulling the other two kids out of school, so because they couldn't do it, they couldn't have one child with a totally special program that everybody wasn't part of, and it was just making their it was kind of wrecking their family. I mean, they were kind of all over the place. So she decided to homeschool for 2 years, 3 years, something like that, and pulled her off all the medication, my niece off all the medication, and she was way out there, and they told her she was going to have to be on, I don't know the names of all the things, but it was like you said, with the psychiatric medications and stuff like that, and they said, no, we're going to try a bunch of other stuff first. But they had to go down this road. I think this is more common than people realize, and she's 13, 14 now, so around the same time you were dealing with this as well.
And you know what? You actually asked me about our nonprofit and how to pay for all this.
Yes, but now we have to hold on because we have to take another break. See, this
but we need to talk about our nonprofit.
Yeah, this is what kills us. We have these bright ideas, and we take a break, and then we lose the whole thing. But we're going to come back, and we're totally talking about the nonprofit. I'm going to make a note. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Maybe I don't speak too well, but I'm coming out of my shell, and I like playing by myself. If you can't tell, I like to go to school. Yeah, I'm a miracle, and I'm glad to be alive. You'll wait patiently, well then eventually, well, I will understand the words that you're saying to me. My autism is like a prison that I'm in.
I don't know how to comment on that. Good one. I didn't know there was an autism song. Guess I need to get out more. Where'd you find that?
I know, y'all almost made me cry. Don't do that.
I know. That's kind of a, it's like, ooh, we took our normally funny twist and... Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
It is. It's serious. It is. I mean, all of us have lost our kids, and it's just, I can't tell you on a daily basis how at least once a day I have to say to myself, what kind of world is it when I can just shout out and say, this happened to my baby, and I am telling you, so you go learn, and you go see, and you protect your babies, and people turn around and say, you're crazy. I don't need to listen to you. Your story doesn't count. It is just absolutely the craziest thing, and there's no way that our government and our medical system could be doing us this wrong. And I just don't have words, you know? I mean, I will never stop. And I reach someone, you know, Binky Moms reaches someone constantly, and that's the reward. I'm excited to talk to you guys. If there's just one mommy or one daddy out there that says, uh-oh, this is either my kid or my wife is pregnant, or, oh, my gosh, this is the 15th time I've heard this. Maybe I need to look into it now. You know, these kind of things are that keep us going, but... You know, I mean, there's a huge majority out there that says you're wrong and we don't care what happened to your kid. You do not matter. Your story does not matter.
I can see that because it challenges the, you know, I mean, especially we all know if you start talking about the vaccines and stuff, people get pretty worked up. There are a lot of people who refuse to believe that that could be harmful. And obviously, they haven't read the list of ingredients, but, you know. That
or, you know, research that the Supreme Court calls them unavoidably unsafe, and that our government paid out $3 billion in vaccine injury when that's not even close to everybody that's ever wanted to file or should file. You know, that the reporting system is just a database full of injuries that's only 10% of what is expected to really happen in the real population.
Yikes.
I mean, it's real. It's real.
So your nonprofit, what does it do? I mean, I get why you formed it, but what does it do, and what does it do now?
So we're kind of really evolving to this amazing new stage of our nonprofit. So what happened was when we wrote the book, we just really quickly formed an LLC, you know, not that we expected a whole bunch of money to run in, you know, roll in for the 24 of us at all, but we just needed to have some sort of something on paper. But that wasn't really what we wanted. We wanted a nonprofit, and that would have taken a little bit longer and just a whole lot more rigmarole. So as we've progressed, we have gotten a 501c3 going, and it's called Team TMR. So TMR standing for Thank You Moms Revolution. At this point and up until probably the end of the year, we have been a 100% grant program. So if someone wants to fly to see Dr. So-and-so, then we might give you plane tickets or pay that doctor to see your child. Or some people have had really emergency situations where one of our 34-year-old moms has just had a stroke and needed respite care immediately for her son. You know, so we were able to pay for, you know, 24-hour care for about 3 weeks for that kid. So, you know, these kinds of things, I mean, we just really keep it wide open as to what, you know, is needed from the parents. And the website is www.teamtmr.org. And the grant application, is on that website. Also, a way to donate is on that website. In case anybody would like to help us out. It's been slow going, and that's fine. I mean, we all are special needs moms that are trying to run a nonprofit and promote this idea of healing and hope in the world. So we wax and wane as to who can, you know, help the most. And we want to keep it as much volunteer as we can. We have no paid employees. We don't do anything like that. But we have just in the last couple of weeks been working with a nonprofit guru who came into our lives just from a chance meeting at an airport. And he is helping us produce a new online TV network that will have 10 to 15 channels of just endless information. I mean, one channel will be all about food for our kids. One channel will be about politics. One channel will be about, you know, school issues. One channel will be about self-advocacy for any kid who wants to talk. Another one for siblings that want to talk. And this network is actually interactive. So anyone will be able to download an app and use a selfie stick or not and record their own little, you know, here, I just made this for my son and it's completely allergen free and he loved it. Let me show you how I made it. Or here I am sitting at the California State House in Sacramento and, you know, so-and-so is on the podium and I'm going to interview somebody standing next to me, or I'm meeting with my congressman. Let me show you what he has to say. Or I was just in this IEP meeting and this happened and, you know, this is what I said to get what I needed or whatever. I mean, just you can imagine, you know, the endless amounts of information that we can get from everyone. So we have been working really hard to provide tons of startup content to get these channels going, and probably going to release all this in about November, probably early November.
Oh, wow.
And roll it out to the world. Yeah, so we have this chance to have not only a grant program, and of course, you know, on this TV network we'll provide, you know, text the word Team TMR to 96362 to donate. So anybody, so we'll start bringing in more money, hopefully. But at the same time, this piece is so so interactive with the community, but also providing so much outreach and education for any parent who wants to, you know, find out more about where we're coming from with this idea that, you know, you don't have to just listen to your pediatrician and your occupational therapist, that there's more out here for your baby. So, yeah, we're really excited. And at this point, we're still trying to dole out as much money as we can. We've had a Facebook online auction lately that was really cool. It was just like all kinds of things that autism families would want, and they were able to bid on these items. Doctor's visits, essential oils, you know, gift cards, whatever, and get all these things that all of us, our families use anyway for a cheaper price than it would be normally. So that was kind of like its own little grant program, you know, just doing that auction. Plus we raised $23,000 for our grant program. So, we just keep kind of, you know, rolling along, like, you know, finding the best people in the world and people who really care about helping our kids and really just want, you know, this all to come to light and make it stop and make it slow down and make sure that our kids have a life, you know? I mean, our kids deserve.
Are you getting less, I would imagine at one point you probably got pushback from the medical community. Like when
you know what, we kind of stay a little bit under the radar. I mean, you know, there's, of course there's evil trolls everywhere and we have some that like to lie about us and stuff like that, but I mean, we just kind of stay in the light, you know? I mean, what does that matter? Like, say what you want to, but I can go next door and help my, you know, friend over here with the 15-year-old that screams all night and find a way to make that stop. And it doesn't have anything to do with whatever anybody wants to say. We can find the answers, you know?
Sure, but I mean, I guess what I was thinking is now I would imagine that's changed quite a bit. It seems that more medical people are getting on board with some of this, you know, the alternative things,
you know,
if you will.
I hope so. You know, I mean, you hear stories that are very encouraging every day, and then you hear a story of, you know, a medical kidnapping at some random children's hospital where, you know, everybody's absolutely evil and takes somebody's kid because they don't believe that strep can be an autoimmune disease, you know,
that can be?
Strep. So there's this part of some of the, our kids are going through something called PANDAS, and it's pediatric, my son dealt with this for a while, pediatric autoimmune neurodegenerative strep. And basically, instead of having, you know, every kid gets strep throat, right? So you have a sore throat and a fever and maybe a rash, and you take antibiotics and you go back to school and you're done. Well, what's happening is, and it's not well accepted in mainstream, is that strep, and actually pretty much any pathogen, so it would be called PANS at that point, pediatric autoimmune neurodegenerative syndrome, where this pathogen has gone into this kid who has a compromised immune system because we've been messing with the immune system so badly with chemicals and chemicals and chemicals and medical interventions. And then this common or not common pathogen causes an autoimmune reaction. So where Patrick would display in behaviors, aggressive, regressive, biting himself, angry, kind of stuff. And then we went and tested his strep titers, like any, you would for any kid that just had strep throat, and there they were, like 5 times higher than the average kid. So when you're talking about that, it's like, we could do a whole show on that too. So it's just like these crazy things that we're figuring out in the background, you know, that everybody's starting to see as a pattern that in our community. And then you go, okay, well, let me go tell this doctor or tell that doctor. And then some people catch on. And then you think, you know, we're making headway. And then there's lashback. I mean, you know, I mean, everywhere you go, it's both. It's the dark and the light. It's so frustrating.
No, because you think now, you know, I mean, even the, like the grocery stores that aren't specialty. I mean, you know, different places in the country have different, you know, different chains of grocery stores. But for the most part, if you were going to find anything organic or anything along those lines, you'd have to go to a really high-end grocery store where,
right,
you know, your basic canned food would be double, maybe 3 times that of the, you know, of the cheap one. But anymore, those things are available and people kind of understand it. I would think what you're saying would be more easily accepted, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I think that the corporations that kind of have kept, you know, everything pretty much at a level of gross and poison are starting to realize that there's a lot to be said for the awakening masses that are saying, I would rather buy this than that, you know. I would rather go farther to a Whole Foods to get that organic canned tomato than I would to buy your crap in the grocery, you know, regular grocery store. So, you know, these corporations are really responding, just like fast food, like Chipotle or whoever, you know, these people that are, these companies that are really waking up to the fact that the masses are looking for this. It's money driven. It's all money driven. It's all greed. So.
Sure. But supply and demand driven. And so if we demand
right.
it, you know, if we are the demand, the supply will follow. We need
but
to take
what
one
we have to
last
watch out for though is that, and I love to make this point, what we have to watch out for is that now that there is this resistance, now that people are turning around, now that there all these things are coming to light, they're starting to make laws to make us do the bad things and keep us.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
With that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Right. So, you know, this is really, really scary when you think about, okay, well, people are trying to figure out that this we could do better. And they're going to say, oh, but then you're messing with my bottom line, and I won't have that, and I'll change to pay the government to make you do what I want you to.
Yeah, to see if we can and if we can control that. Well, and then all of our states, of course, have different ideas, and so, you know, what's organic in one place wasn't organic in another, and, you know, so we had to at least make that a uniform decision. Now they've done that with GMOs. At least there'll be a bottom line. You can, you know, you can always up it, but at least there was a minimum standard. A lot of states don't have referendum, and we were trying to do it by, you know, getting signatures and that kind of thing. And yeah, we all know where that goes. Sometimes,
I mean,
sometimes good, sometimes
really,
bad.
I was really confident in myself in the state of Georgia. I live in Georgia, and so I was really all, you know, pumped up that this year we didn't have anything really on the books concerning vaccines in our state legislature. But our vaccine laws did change in committee and public health department, so the Department of Public Health within the state of Georgia. So they can get us anywhere they want
to.
We just
California just passed a mandated vaccine, and now they're going for the grown-ups. So I know there's quite a move out here to get that, you know, to get that reversed. We need to take one more quick break, and then we'll be back. We're talking to Kim Spencer from the Thinking Moms Revolution. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping staring. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes.
And so
interesting. So if that describes your child, you need to meet Kim Spencer. And
I need to go back and research these songs.
Yeah, no kidding. I do too. Who's that, Karen Carpenter?
I've got my
Carpenter
for the night.
Yeah, Karen Carpenter. I haven't heard her in a long time. It's a sad
parents,
story all by itself.
Every album.
Yeah. Okay, so the Thinking Moms Revolution. It's not the in the website. Hold on here.
www.thinkingmomsrevolution.com.
There we go.
And then the nonprofit is www.teamtmr.org. Both are interchangeable. We blog several times a week on every different subject that we want to talk about. I will mention that throughout the last three years of doing all this, we had another 30 moms that we met online that wanted to tell their stories too. So we put their stories in another book and self-published that one. And all the proceeds for that second book actually go to the nonprofit. And most of the stories in that book are all recovery stories, so it's really inspiring. And so they are volunteers that help us with the auctions and everything that they can do all day long, you know, to help us as well. We just need, you know, hands on deck to save our babies.
No kidding. And so, you know, one thing I was thinking of during the break, let's say your child is 10 now, and you've had them on all this medication and all that because you didn't know that there were ways to work around it. Is there ever a too late point?
No, absolutely not. I will never accept that that would ever be the case.
You probably meet people that are in all different phases of this.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's going to be tough to back out of these meds, and it's tough to teach a child who's been used to eating what they want to eat that they need to eat these other things. It's tough. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not easy. It's also not cheap. But, you know, what else do we have that our children,
sure.
You know? I mean, you know, if it's just too overwhelming and you can't do anything and you're fine, you know, like you have to drop the ball, there's other things that are important, and institutionalization, or you getting beat up when they're 175 pounds and 6 feet tall, like my son is, you know, I mean, these are the things we're facing. I can't judge. I don't know your life, but I will say that we're here for you if you want help. And if you want to learn, we have so much information on our blog. We have so much interaction on our Facebook. If we don't know the answers, we can send you to someone that can help you, give you ideas. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, we're here because we know there's hope and we know there's healing on whatever level, you know, whatever you can bring him back. Can you bring your son back to a point where he can live in your home with you for the rest of his life instead of being in an institution drugged up and tied down? You know, come on, let's try it. Let's just see.
Sure.
You know, why not?
And now your son, now after 15 years of, you know, I don't know how long it took, but now that he's 15, can he just eat whatever he wants? Is he going to get to a point where he can kind of do whatever he wants, or do things have to be still
really monitored? That's a great
question.
That's a great question, because I get some sideways glances sometimes. You won't catch me driving through McDonald's with the Thinking Mom bumper sticker on my car.
Yeah,
I will not get busted. No, that's not happening. Do I sometimes let him have pizza? Yes. Do I see any regression from it? No. One thing that we hugely utilize is digestive enzymes. So, that is a big product in our house. I mean, if you're going to go and have that cupcake, then we're going to, you know, make sure that your tummy has some tools to handle it.
Well, because I was just thinking, like, when he goes to college and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, beer has gluten, right? Yeah. I don't ever see him drinking that at all. He's just not into that. But, you know, I mean.
Well, no, yeah, but just eating, you know. I mean, if he lived in a dormitory or whatever.
Himself. Absolutely. Well, he's super picky, and I've found some things that he really, really likes, and we work really hard on him being able to fix them for himself. Self-help skills are so huge, you know, so we'll get there. We'll get there. I've got high school to go. We just started a month ago.
So the fun is just beginning. That's fun. Well, thanks,
exactly.
Kim. I am so glad we finally, I finally got my act together. It was not your fault. It was mine that I couldn't tell what day it was.
I only sent you three long phone numbers, so I think we're equal here.
It's okay. You know, sometimes those hard-fought connections are the best. So thank you very much for coming on with us. And if anything changes,
and, you know, we have, you know, 24 to 50 more stories that are, you know, we'd love to talk to you anytime. So just let us know. Thank you for the platform.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
That's
so much.
Great. Keep us posted, and we'll do another show. I'm positive.
All right, great. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can find all Kim's information on our website, wethepeopleradio.us.